Not long ago lived a poor man's daughter in the town of Asheville, North Carolina. The poor man was not well known as there was nothing to know him from. He had a basic job for the city and did not make much at all. His wife had left him and all he had was his daughter. Now him and his daughter had a nice life, a house in West Asheville and a dog, but they weren't extremely successful. The daughter did enough to keep her grades from dropping too close to a D and the dad made enough money to get by, but they didn't miss some luxuries like eating out or having air conditioning at their house. But they made their life as good as possible with what they had. But on a steamy August Friday, the dad was down at the courthouse to pick up his paycheck when he heard some co-workers talking about the city's debt. The men said the city had fallen into so much debt that it was going to go broke. That's when the poor man thought of an idea, a wonderful idea. He went to the secretary and said he needed to meet with the mayor immediately. When the secretary asked why, his response was simply to save the city. The secretary made the appointment. When the man arrived for the meeting, he wore his nicest shirt and his freshly pressed pants. He wanted to look as good as possible. He entered the room confidently and walked up to the mayor and said, "I hear you have a debt problem, and I can fix it." "And how do you think you'll be able to pull that off?" said the mayor inquisitively. "Well, I have a brilliant daughter who has invented an amazing machine that can turn grass into money. She'll provide these services for you, and all will be well in the city." The mayor thought for a moment and said, "Well, it couldn't hurt. Bring her down here tomorrow at 9 a.m, and she can begin." The poor man skipped off, clicking his heels and laughing. When he told the story to his daughter, she was enraged, knowing that she had no way of doing that, but he promised that the publicity this son would bring to her family would be enough money for a long time, so she agreed to give it a go. The next morning when she arrived at City Hall, the whole mayor's yard's grass had been cut, bagged, and brought to the City Hall to turn into money. She then was sent to an office for her to get to work. Once everyone was gone, she sat and started to worry about what would happen if she didn't turn into money. She started to cry. Then a small man walked in. He was round around the middle, had a bad shave and thinning hair on the top of his head, but he seemed friendly enough. "What seems to be the matter?" said the small man. "I can't turn this grass into money, and I can't save the city," yelled the poor man's daughter. "What if I did that for you?" "That would be great, but how would I repay you?" "With a necklace of yours, of course." So the poor man's daughter handed over the necklace and watched as the little man whipped out a machine that turned the grass into $100 bills. Then the little man left as he came through the door. When the mayor arrived at 5 o'clock at night with the poor girl's father, both their mouths dropped to the floor in astonishment. But no questions were asked, and she was invited back to do the same the next morning. She arrived the next morning and began to worry about how she would pull off this illusion again. She went to her office, and there was even more grass, so she sat down and started to cry. "How will I do this?" she said, and she started to panic. But then, like clockwork, arrived the little man through the door. "Can't turn it into money again?" asked the round man. "Yes," said the woman bashfully. "I will do it for you, if I can receive some of the money I make for you. $150 will be yours, I promise," said the poor man's daughter. So the grass was turned to money. The man took his cut and the earnings and left. When the mayor and the poor man arrived, they were in shock once again at the huge stacks of money. They rejoiced and celebrated. Then the mayor began to talk. "The new school is over budget, and now that you paid off the city's debt, I wonder if you could provide enough money to pay for the rest of the school." The poor man gladly made sure that the mayor would know that it would be done. So the next morning at 9 o'clock, the girl was dropped off at town hall and walked to her office, which was once again filled with fresh-cut grass. Once again, she started to cry. She cried for the kids who would have a rundown school, and she cried about how she would never be able, she'd be made out to be a liar by everyone. But then, like every day so far, arrived a little man. "Yes, yes, yes, you are here," screamed the girl. "I've come to save the day one more time, but under one condition." "Anything," said the girl, who soon regretted agreeing because of the tone of the little man's voice seemed evil in some way. "Your firstborn child," said the small man. "Sure," the girl said, thinking that he would forget about their deal. The grass was turned to money and everything was looking splendid. The mayor arrived at noon. He was again ecstatic to see all the money. Then right there on the spot, he asked her to marry her. She thought about how she had never had what she wanted and always lived in poverty. She deserved to be treated better. "Yes," she responded, and soon they were married. A year and a half later, the poor man's daughter turned mayor's wife was days away from her due date and was resting at home when there was a tap, tap, tap on the door. The mayor's wife wobbled over the door and answered it, but to her astonishment, the man on the other door was the little round man that had helped her in the past. "I'm here to collect my son," said the round man. "What? This is my child, and you can't take it from me. But we had a deal. My services for your first child." "No, no, no, you can't take him, anything but him." And the mayor's wife began to weep and weep. "Okay, you can keep the child if you guess my name. You have 3 days to guess it." The mayor's wife agreed to the terms and began to research. She googled every name she could think of. Nothing. She looked for names on the job of turning grass to money. Still nothing. She still met the little man and asked all the basic names she knew. She had no luck. She went back to the drawing board and thought of every abstract name she knew. She wrote all of them down and on the second day met the man again and asked all the unusual names she had thought of. Once again, none of them were his name. She then sat and thought and couldn't think of any names. She decided to go for a walk to clear her head and think of some new ideas. She walked all through the arboretum, listening to the birds and imagining walking with her son, who she suddenly stopped. She had heard some sort of chanting from a distance. She focused on what she heard and was clear as a bell. Today I bake, tomorrow brew. The next I will have the young mayor's wife's child. Ha, glad am I that no one knew. Rumpelstiltskin I am styled. She could barely hide her excitement. She hurried back to the car and went home, for she knew that she was going to be able to keep her son. The next day she arrived at the usual meeting spot and was met by the small man. She started with some basic names. Is your name Paul, or maybe Randy? The small man shook his head and giggled just slightly. Or maybe it's Rumpelstiltskin. The man looked at her quizzically. How did you know? The devil must have told you that. His voice was raised and was obviously very frustrated. The small man then became so enraged that he slammed his leg into the ground so far that his body split in two. The mayor's wife then lived her life happily ever after with her son.